Hello, good afternoon. Home or away, win or lose, ABW Radio, your place to share Arsenal views. There you go, Chris, I did your little tagline thing. Hello, good afternoon, everyone. As you'll notice, I'm not Mr. Chris Carpenter. Sadly, he couldn't be here today. He's been detained for something, I don't know what. So he's asked me to step in to host the show. Yeah, I was supposed to be here anyway, but you know what I mean. So filling in for me, we have Mr. Tom Canton. Hello, Tom.
Hello, I was hoping you'd go Jason first because my YouTube's still playing in the background.
Very professional, fine. It's right, you're last minute, it's perfect. And all the way from the US of A, we have Mr. Shredder. How are you, sir?
I'm very, very well. Very happy to be on, and whenever I'm on the radio, we're undefeated.
Is that true?
This year, yeah.
All right, okay, yeah, that's a good start. Okay, definitely have Jace back for every show then. Yeah, so good afternoon, everyone. Before we get into the game, most important thing, Jace, drink of the day, what's going on?
Jameson in here, with some celebratory Irish whiskey.
Very good.
For your favorite Scottish German over here.
So anyone playing, guess the drink. I hope you won. Yeah, so nice win today before the interlull. Wasn't a great start to the season, but we definitely needed that. 3-1 victory. Fairly comfortable first half, second half a little bit ropey, but we'll get into the team selection first. Tom, what did you think of the lineup today?
Well, it wasn't what I thought. I thought that we'd start with Coquelin in there again, with Xhaka instead of Santi Cazorla, but apparently Coquelin picked up a knock, whether that was on the stepping onto the bus. It could happen at Arsenal. The most weird injuries we ever get here. But yeah, I was reasonably happy with it. I mean, it was annoying to see Giroud on the bench again, but clearly he's not match fit, or Wenger doesn't feel he's match fit. And if so, I would have rather have seen Walcott play up front and Alexis played left. But there was a lot of interchanging going on between him and the Ox and Theo, obviously. So it sort of compensated. But no, from the result, you can see the formation clearly worked. But it's analysing whether that was down to us playing well or Watford playing absolutely dreadfully in the first half, which was a massive factor.
Yeah. I don't think there was too many surprises in the lineup. Like you said, the Xhaka one, I think a few people had said last night that he probably wasn't going to start the game. It looked like it was going to be Coquelin. Jace, same to you. Same question to you, really. Was there anything you would have done different today, or was it basically that's all you had to pick from?
No, I think it was all I had to pick from. I was very excited when it came out to see the Kashaka. Midfield, that's sort of something that I've been calling for a little while. So I was very pleased to see that and to come out. And I think, you know, for what we have up top right now, obviously Giroud's not a little bit fit, and everybody says, you know, well, if you're fit enough to be on the bench, then you're fit enough to start. In theory, yes. Probably in practice right now, no. So I was pleased with it. Obviously, being a big fan of Giroud, I like to see him up front, and I like to see Alexi sort of running off of the left there. But very happy with how we set up, and good to see Mesut back in the starting lineup as well. And I definitely like Xhaka starting. I think he's started to acclimate to the league and see the speed and the physicality of the game, and has started to do pretty well at it.
Yeah, he was particularly impressive today. We'll get on to individual performances a bit later on, but we'll get into the game itself. Looked fairly comfortable at the start and got a fairly early goal. Decision on the penalties for you guys, do you think that was a stonewall pen? I saw a couple of people saying maybe it was a little bit soft. For me, I think that's a foul all day, whether it's in the box or not, or somewhere else on the pitch. So, Tom, you first.
Yeah, I mean, I put in our WhatsApp group saying that's surely a foul, because at that time it wasn't clear whether it had been given or not, and I still wasn't sure a minute after it had been given. And I mean, he's climbed all over the back of Alexis, and he looked like he elbowed him in the head, and he didn't get much on the ball, and it's just a blatant foul, and it's something that we've been saying for referees to use to crack down on, and it's finally happened, and it's good that we scored a pen, because I think the last penalty Santi took was the one at West Brom where he blazed over the bar, so it was nice that he got that one in. And obviously Theo missed his in the first game, so we're back on a penalty scoring run again.
Yeah, all good stuff. Jace, happy to see the little Spanish magician get a goal?
Oh, very happy. I put in our WhatsApp group that I was really, really thrilled with it. You can see what we've missed in him, and for him to come back in straight away and such a calm, cool penalty. That's a mid-season form penalty, if you ask me. And for him to come in again, I do think it was a foul in the box. A foul does not change whether it's inside the 18, inside the 6, or just in the normal field of play. It's a foul, and it should be called. And actually, I don't know if you know the Crystal Palace match. There was a large shirt pulled on or called off of whoever Palace were playing, and Benteke just, I mean, you could see his shirt being like ripped off of his body, and they finally called it in the box, something we haven't seen a lot of, and I'm happy that they're calling it, but I hope that our players don't do that because they're calling it now. So it's one of those things that, if you're going to pull somebody, give them a foul around, the center circle for pulling somebody back on a breakaway, then you have to give the same foul in the box. I think we've seen that now, and it was a pretty bad club to the head on Sanchez there, and definitely a little worried about that initially as he went down clutching the back of his head. Could have been much worse than it was, but definitely a foul, and happy to see the little magician come back in and really sort of with a lot of confidence for somebody who hasn't played for such a long time, tuck that penalty away in such sort of a cheeky manner, just right down the middle with some pace.
Yeah, it's nice to see referees doing that now. I like Tom as well. I thought at first that they hadn't been given because the referee did take a while. But it's nice to see a ref actually give himself some time to think about it and take the right decision, because sometimes they are a little bit too quick to just say yes or no. But yeah, that is something you'd have to watch out through the season. I think, was it the... I can't remember who it was now. Who's the ref that everyone hates? Mike Dean.
Yes.
In his first game of the season, gave like two penalties, and like one of them was Raheem Sterling just sort of half blocking off Ryan Shawcross, and it was really weird, and it was like, wow, okay, that would never be a penalty, but this season they're going to go for it, so something our players have got to be conscious of, but I'm glad we got a decision in our favour. After that, it all looked fairly comfortable. I thought we controlled the ball well, made a couple of good chances. You really saw the difference that Ozil made back in the team. But Watford started to come back into a little bit. We're going to get to the other goals in a minute, but I wanted to single out Amrabat for Watford. He gave Nacho a really, really tough time today, and he was causing a lot of problems down that side. Is it just me? Does Nacho look a little bit off the pace, maybe? Not quite up to full speed yet? Tom, I don't know what you thought about that.
Well, I mean, he struggled against Mane as well, against Liverpool, and it seems to be these small, low centre of gravity, tricky wingers that can get round him. It's that quick turn of him having to turn left, turn right, and trying to pre-guess what way the attacker's going to go. But, I mean, Amrabat is not someone who I put down as a massive quality player. I mean, I saw him a lot when he was at Malaga before he got the move to Watford. I think it was in January last season. And he seems to be coming into his own, the Moroccan player. And whether it's Monreal getting older or whatnot, because we've just known him to be this consistent force at left-back, especially the whole of last season, and has improved year on year for us. And maybe it's time that he has stagnated. He's the wrong side of 30 now, and it's going to be in the coming summers that we'll look to probably replace him. I mean, Carl's going to be screaming Jose Gaia at me for the person to replace him, or Drew with Ricardo Rodriguez from Wolfsburg. Yes. But
who scored a free kick today, by the way, to seal the game for Wolfsburg.
Oh, did he?
He did.
So there's always going to be names for him. But, I mean, I like Nacho. I think I like his humility on the pitch. I think when you see times when he got knocked down by Deeney, he knew that the challenge weren't malicious, and he just got up and was like, yeah, just play on. And I like that in players. But he's been consistent for us for a long time, and if he's going to make a couple of mistakes, he might as well be in a 3-1 win.
As you say, Carl's just popped up in the chat.
Go on. Yeah, there you go.
I think a couple of people have pointed out in the chat box actually that Oxlade-Chamberlain didn't have the greatest game. I thought he was a little bit lax in helping Monreal out today, and it's true, he didn't have a great game against Mane, but then he played, he shut down Mahrez very well in the Leicester game, so yeah, interesting. But I think it might have had more to do with the Watford formation, but we'll come on to that. I mean, Watford had that little spell, but then up popped Sanchez. Strange finish. I'm not sure if he intended to do that or not, the sort of little chip, or whether it was mishit. More surprising probably was the person who delivered the ball in the box, Jace, Mr. Theo Walcott. He had quite a good game today, didn't he?
He definitely had more moments. I wouldn't say overall that
the refusal to praise Theo is great.
Correct. Well, it's not that I don't want to praise him. I'm just not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I do think he probably played his best game for us in a long time. I will definitely give him that. He still needs to track back a little bit more, and I don't think he's very intelligent with his runs. That being said, it was a magnificent ball into the box, and I think honestly, if any other player on our team had done that, you know, we'd be given a man of the match type of praise and things like that. It's just the fact that it's as our good friend from the podcast, Lord Hillwood, Steve always calls him Houdini. We've dubbed him Theodini for the way he can disappear at times. But I think he, and you saw as well later in the game, he actually got stuck in a few times. And maybe this Perez signing has sort of he hadn't been announced. Maybe that has hopefully woken him up to say, like, look, like I got to work on getting my spot. I don't need to worry about England. I don't need to worry about my next contract. I just got to play football to the best of my ability. And hopefully this is something that he can build off of and grow off of. And it's probably sad to say for a player who's been at the club for 10 years, but something he can develop off of. And hopefully it's the first of many that we see, because I think if he puts in the performances that he did like he did today, that he'll probably see his name on the team sheet a little more, no matter who we bring in. But I do think he does, especially with fans, maybe not so much with England, but with fans, he's definitely got a deep hole to dig himself out of.
Yeah, it's something we've been crying out for a while. I think a lot of fans have been saying, you know, for years, when you've got competition for places, it just improves the quality of the squad, and everyone has to fight for their position, and you get the best out of people. I was talking to Simon from the bloggers group the other day, and he made a great point about Alex Ferguson always trying to sign 3 new players every year just to keep everyone in the squad on their toes, kind of thing. So, yeah, so fingers crossed we get those kind of performances out of Theo for the rest of the season, because I thought he was much better today. Still made a few wrong decisions, and I think he probably could have got himself another goal if he'd read that pass coming in at the back stick and made the run a little bit earlier, but much improved performance. Third goal coming from another player who is really hard to pick a man in the match today. I'm still not really sure. But Mesut Ozil, Mesut, our saviour, back in the team. We look so much better with him on the pitch. It's an obvious thing to say, but he's so superb, and just the spaces he finds and the passes he picks out. But a headed goal of all things. Tom, explain, because has he ever scored a header before?
Yes.
I remember.
He has. He scored one against Norwich in his first season. Was that the game where Ramsey and Wilshere scored their great goals as well?
I think that was Norwich. We're relegated. Please do whatever you want to us, kind of thing.
it's obvious that he's a great man to have back in the squad. I always get people laughing at me because I say he's a problem player for us, because he's just a player we have to play, which creates problems for what formation we could play to improve us. Because if we're going to play with Ozil, he has to play as a number 10. It's his best position. If you play him out wide, it detracts from his other qualities. So it's you've always got to play him in the squad. And when he's available like he was today, he was great. He was conducting the play. I think he was excellent with Xhaka behind him. I thought he felt that security behind him and Xhaka to sort of conduct the play, which I'm sure we'll come on to a bit, was a nice balance for him to have, a nice security behind him. And even though he lost the ball a couple of times, like when he tried to do that little Ronaldo chop sort of flick, and I can't remember it might have been Dina that ran onto it and nicked it off him to run on. He is susceptible to that sometimes, but the passes he puts in is of great quality. I think he put the ball in for Alexis to claim the penalty. I think that was Ozil. And I mean, the goal was, it was just a great instinctive run that you don't normally see, because he's obviously we see him as a player who's trying to find those passes, seeing them before other people do, where he saw where a ball was going to land before other people did, instead of playing that pass. And he ran into that space for Alexis to perfect. It was a great cross, by the way. It was inch perfect and right in the perfect area. And Ozil's come onto it and headed it, where you just have to get your head on that with that power. You don't need to necessarily put your neck into it. You just redirect the ball, and the power on the cross will do its work. And that's what happened. And it was a great finish. So it'll be great confidence for him to go forward. I'm glad that he was brought off towards the end, because obviously he is still coming back and he's not full fit and whatnot. But when he is fully match fit and raring to go, we've got some player in that position.
Yeah, absolutely. Mr. Shredder, you've got some breaking news that I'm sure probably everyone was already aware of.
it seems as Wenger has confirmed both Mustafi and Perez in his press conference now. Just tweeted out, Ars blog is the one who I've sort of seen it from first, just scrolling through my the tweets here, but looks like they are confirmed from the actual horse's mouth, not that other horse's mouth on Twitter, but not the actual horse's mouth. Wenger has confirmed that. So looks like that business will be done, and we'll see those guys in Arsenal kits after the interlull we got coming up.
Cool. Looking forward to that. I'm sure we'll have time to do a little bit about Mustafi and Perez at the end. We want to try and keep it to the game as much as possible today. Just going back to Ozil, I thought today, you can heap so much praise on him, but he was getting in the box a lot more, and he looked like he was trying to score a goal himself rather than just set things up all the time. Do you think there's something, obviously we'll get on to Xhaka in a minute, but the way Xhaka was sort of conducting things in midfield and having someone like Cazorla who can do that as well, are you expecting to maybe see a few more goals from Ozil this season, Jace, just because he's got a bit more freedom? He doesn't have to do everything himself now?
I'm always hesitant to say he's going to get more goals. His first instinct is to pass. That's his first instinct. The great thing was, I don't know, his run came from like 30 yards out from where he was, which is I don't think that's anything people have really associated his game with in the past, but I think what happened with Watford was they saw just how devastating the diagonal balls were from Xhaka. They knew that Santi could carry the ball for 15 to 20 yards, you know, through the midfield and into the attacking third, and so they pressed up a little bit higher, which I think created some more space for Ozil in his role today, and you saw him getting the ball a little bit more with, 5 to 10 yards as opposed to 2 to 3 yards against most teams. So I think the way that Watford played us with Santi and Shock in the midfield allowed Messi to really be able to push on and do that. I think when he does get into the box, I do think we'll see him score more. At the same time, I'm always hesitant because he wants to be the facilitator. He's always said that to him, an assist is just as important as a goal. So I think that's really where we may see more goals just because of the influence of a Santi and a Shock in the midfield, and the distribution that they can create will cause some more openings here for Messi to open up in the midfield and hopefully have more space. And hopefully what we do is we see larger teams against us try to do that instead of trying to close him down. But the good thing now, I think, with Shaka and Santi is, if you close Messi down, those two are also capable of providing some magic, which gives us more options. So I think it's good to have another option other than Messi who can facilitate the creative sort of attacking presence in our team and not be just relying upon him. And I think that's taken some pressure off of him, which is probably pretty good at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really, I mean, obviously, I'm sure some people know that I watched Gladbach for last X number of years and seen a lot of Xhaka and was excited when he signed, more for his passing than for his tackling, to be honest, as I'm sure Arsenal fans have also worked that out kind of early because some of his are a little bit rash in the challenges. But, just the ability to be able to free up Ozil a bit more, to be on the opposition team and say, okay, we've got to maybe, put two men on Ozil because he can find that space, and freeing up someone of the ability of Cazorla or Xhaka on the ball just makes us more of a threat. Going into the second half, half-time obviously 3-0 up, nice and comfortable, no changes at half-time, nothing was really needed. I thought the only player really in the first half was a little bit quiet and disappointing was probably Oxlade-Chamberlain. He didn't really get too involved in the play, but other than that, I thought everyone was having a good game. Second half, Watford changed things up, they brought on Pereira who just signed from Juventus, a decent player, changed the system. Moved from three at the back, went to a 4-4-2, and we struggled for a couple of lengthy periods in the second half. Obviously, they did get the goal back, but just going to the actual system change, Tom, do you think we did enough to react to it, just the Watford's shift in formation?
No, I don't think we did. I was, and it's obviously you look back with the benefit of hindsight, and you have to ignore the fact that Monreal got injured later on in the game. I would have brought on Giroud much sooner. I felt that there was a lot of crosses going into the box, and we lacked that physicality and height, which when you've got that three of Walcott, Ox and Alexis up front, you can't drop someone from the top front back in to do a defensive clearance from a corner or a set piece and whatnot. So I thought Giroud was needed in that. Also, when we're kicking long from the back of our field just to get out of our area, if you've got someone like Giroud who can hold up the play on the other end of the field, and it's a good thing to have when you're on the defensive. In terms of the changes we actually made, it was Wilshere that came on with Elneny. I'm completely fine with that, taking off Oxen and Ozil. I thought that was the right changes to make in terms of those two coming off. And Wilshere was fine, made a couple of fouls, got a yellow card. I think it was our only one of the match, which Watford fans found rather ironic during the game, which I'm absolutely fine with, personally. But Elneny came on, did a decent job, ran around as he does, and was consistent. I can't think you could say anything wrong about what Elneny's done since he's come into the club. I like him a lot, and I hope that when he improves with the squad, he can become a starter for us, because I think he deserves to be in the future from what he's shown us so far. Obviously, that'll boil down to who else we bring in the future and whatnot, but still, he's a player that I like and a bargain for what he did. But, I mean, the actual goal that Watford scored, I thought, I mean, you boil it down to, I think Xhaka made, so it was a lot of misfortune with the clearance of Koscielny hitting our own player and bouncing back in the box. But Xhaka seemed to sort of, he was going to go in for it, and then he pulled out of it and put his arms up. And maybe if he was a bit more committed, that we wouldn't either. He would have given away a penalty, which is Xhaka, and it's very likely that could have happened, or they scored. But I think you have to take that gamble in that position to try and get the ball and not pull out of it when you're so close to the goal. Because if you let a player like Pereira, as you say, he's come to Juventus and is a decent player, that close to the goal, there's a high chance he can score, and he did. So I think that Xhaka's got to be a bit more committed in that position and try and get the ball.
Yeah, I thought with the change of system, Pereira's obviously, when he was at Juve, he was sort of sometimes referred to a little bit harshly as kind of a budget Vidal, more for the, because they normally had the same haircut, or he tried to copy not quite the same player. But that creative threat through the middle, Watford didn't have that in the first half. Obviously, they had more sort of free, more holders than anything else. When Capoue is your most sort of offensive of your three midfielders, it's not really a number 10 as such as what Pereira sort of brings to the team. So I thought we were a little bit lax in adjusting to that system. Jace, just talking about that goal itself, other than that, really, the defence today I thought was very solid. Again, another really good outing for the young Rob Holding. I thought he was very good today. I did in my predictions, I said 2-1 to Arsenal when I actually had Watford down to score first. I just thought Troy Deeney might bully Holding today a little bit, might have singled him out, tried to stay away from Koscielny and pick on Holding, but he didn't want to go anywhere near him. He was winning aerial duels and everything. I was very impressed with him today.
No, he was very impressive. He actually showed some pace as well early on in the match, tracking back when he had sort of been pulled out of position to finally close down the player and then send the ball out to touch. So it was very good to see sort of that pace from a center back other than Koscielny. For once, for it's not knocking Mertesacker at all. He's got a very different style of game, though. So it was very good to see that from him. And you got to think the kids. And we actually had Ian Dark on the call over here in the U.S. Who mentioned that the kid, if he wouldn't have been called up by Arsenal, would have been playing in League One this weekend. Just think of the emotional and mental jump you've got to take from being relegated from the Championship up to the Premier League and to be able to put these types of performances in. Again, he's very young, and I'm one who, even people want to knock Chambers and everything, I don't think that center backs really come into their own until they're about 27, 28, when they really start to get those minutes under their belt and come along. And so I think he's going to be an interesting one for us to watch. I think he's one for the future for us as well. Obviously, now that Wenger's confirmed Mustafi, you know, Mustafi's going to be sort of that rock for us for probably the next, you know, 6-7, hopefully, you know, more years, since he's also somewhat young. But I think having a guy like Holding in here who you can develop and mature and grow under the tutelage of Per, you know, I'm sure Per is one of those guys who, even though he's injured, I'm sure he's probably at training most of the time during the week, helping out the young guys. He is our captain. He was given that for a reason. Whether you feel that's right or wrong because he's injured is a whole other issue. But he's been given that for his leadership. And to be able to see sort of you can see the inexperience, but you can also see the talent that we signed him for. So it was very good to see that. And I do think under the radar today that Koscielny was very good as well. And, I think we get up the goal as sort of, you know, sort of a very ping-pongy type goal, just ricocheting back and forth. And, I'm, you know, a lot of people were disappointed in it. Yeah, you're disappointed you give up a goal. You want the clean sheet, especially for a guy like Petr Cech. But at the same time, I think it was just one of those freak goals. It's going to happen throughout the year. The good thing is it didn't cost us anything because we had done a really good job, I think, defensively. And we had some moments where we were a little sketchy But we actually looked weird to say. We looked calmer in our sketchiness than we have in years past, which I think is a huge improvement over how we've had things in years before. And we've seen some fluke goals go in that today I think we actually stopped. So it's good to see. Let's hope that it becomes a pattern and isn't a one-off for us.
You're muted, John. Oh, there we go. Smooth, I did it, Chris. I see what you're trying to tweet and everything at the same time. I think talking about Holding, obviously, I thought he had a very good game, and he's come into the side and done really, really well for someone so young. But
just on that, a reporter actually just asked Wenger, or just said, Rob Holding played well today, to which Wenger said, I'm very happy you noticed that.
Yeah,
he may not have cost $55 million, but
I'm not Arsenal's biggest fan. But he does come up with some good one-liners occasionally. Yeah, the $55 million one was good.
Well, as I tweeted earlier in the week, he's a massive. The man's a legitimate non-Twitter troll. Signing two players, Mesut Ozil, all after he thinks that the window should be closed. The man knows how to rile people up. He really is a very good wind-up artist. Whether he intends to be or not, I do think he likes to do that a little bit with that cheeky wry smile that he has from time to time.
Yeah, we're lucky sometimes that our Simon gets to attend the press conferences and sends us nice little short videos that sometimes don't go out, and we see some of the sort of the jokey side of Arsene that you don't always get to see on the news. Yeah. Some of these nice little jokes he does, but I just like Holding. I thought again, really good today. But you're still going to have those moments because he is new. He is learning with a new back four. And also you've got Xhaka in front of him who, he's not an out-and-out DM. It's not really his position. Yeah. He can do it, and he's adjusting to that, and he's adjusting to a new team. So you're going to have those moments. But overall, I thought, very good performance today. First half, obviously, much better than the second. I thought second half, there was a few players looked a bit tired, Alexis in particular. Oh. I think like Tom said, it would have been nice to be able to bring Giroud on, and I think he would have were it not for the injury to Monreal. It just would have made us a little bit more solid. But I like the depth you sort of saw today, being able to bring on Jack Wilshere, bringing on El Nene in particular, who I really like. Just he gives you those legs in midfield, but if you're in a bit of trouble, he's quite good at carrying the ball, which I don't think people talk about enough, that he can really get you up the pitch quite a distance just to get you out of trouble, even if it does result in a throw-in or something like that. He's really got that ability about him. If he could just laid in that ball for that overlap, just to get that fourth goal, that would have been nice. But overall, yeah, good result today. I'll give a little bit of praise for Watford. I thought Kapu, despite the fact he used to play for that scumbag team, I actually thought he was quite good today. And Amrabat was obviously probably their best player. And the young kid who I've never heard of before, Success.
Yeah, played for Granada last season.
Yeah. Wow. He looks really good.
Yeah, he is.
What is he, 18?
Yeah, he's 19 now, I think. Yeah, he's Nigerian, I think, and he was playing with Peñaranda at Granada last season. He was
okay. Well, if he's 19, someone needs to check that passport, because that kid's about 7 foot tall and weighs about 20 stone in muscle. But that might be a canoe, but he looks a very exciting player. But yeah, a good result all round today. Obviously, now we go into the international break, which is annoying. Why they do that like 2 weeks into the season? It's so stupid. But the result we wanted cheered the fans up a bit. Obviously, new signings coming in, bit of a good buzz around the club for once, because the season didn't start great. Are you now a bit more confident? Let's say the signings weren't confirmed, for example, just on today's performance alone, would you be a lot happier than you were after the first two games of the season, Tom, sort of going into the interlull?
Yeah, well, I'm sort of, if you're given the hypothetical situation, I'm saying it like, yeah, we're stuck with Walcott, so I'm sort of happy that he played well and that it bodes well for the future if he played well today. So that does make me happier. Obviously, it's good to see Ozil back and starting. Rob Holding, even with, say, if we hadn't signed anyone, our defensive situation, it seems to be, as Jay said and highlighted, he's been excellent. And I think that he's going to be a really good addition to our team. And it's quite funny that for a player that costs nearly eight times less than Callum Chambers has already pushed him out of the squad. So it's great to see that we've got another bargain in and then he can progress. And there's another English player, which also helps. But no, I'm in a very positive state of mind. I mean, if you look at 4 points from nine, it isn't that great. But I think when you consider the chaos of the first game, the fact that we had only brought in Xhaka and Holding and hadn't got that proper defender and proper attacking player in, a 4-3, it wasn't great. But I think we can look back and say that we've put that behind us now, and we're gonna move forward from it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more optimistic. I'm still annoyed with the window as a whole. Just that it's taken this long, but I'm also glad that it's soon to be over, because it's just once the transfer window's gone, I can just concentrate about football and not talk about money and everything else that goes along with it. But pleased with Xhaka and really pleased with Holding. It's still the forward line is a question, but you got to think Giroud coming back. Obviously, Ozil will be fitter. I hope Alexis only has one game during the international break and can get some rest, because he must have done some serious air miles in the last 6 months back and forth to Chile. But so Jace, with yourself thinking about like going forward, obviously the Liverpool game was a disappointment. I think Leicester was both teams looking to just not lose, because they both had a poor start to the season. We haven't had a really easy start to the season. We've got some better games coming up for us that in theory should give us the points. You know, being 5 points behind after three games, it's not the end of the world, is it?
No, especially it's still so early. You hate to dig yourself that hole. I think that's sort of the biggest problem that you hate, is especially with the way that other teams that are our quote-unquote rivals have started off this year, then you hate to dig yourself that hole early on, but you hope that your consistency throughout the year will pay off. So not the start we wanted. I don't think as much as I'm bemoaning as well, just the fact that it took so long for our business to get done. Again, Wenger wants the window to close, you know, at the first match, and we've signed two players now. Rumors of, you know, a possible third coming in as well. After the first match, it sort of confuses you, and I will sort of it's not easy to get transfers done, but at the same time, we make it harder than it should be at times for us to get that business done early, I feel. So, but where we're sitting now, I think we're in a decent position. I would like to maybe probably have a win at Leicester. I don't think I guess it's the American in me that wants us to just, you either play for the win or you shouldn't play at all. So that's which is a very American mindset, because we rarely ever have ties in any of our sports. So it's one of those things where I would rather just sometimes see us go for it, because I do think that we're a better quality than Leicester are. Why not try to get the win? Why not? We have more talent. We have more depth than they do. Why not try to get the 3 points out of that match? I'm not saying we didn't necessarily try there. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're a very talented team. But, I think right now where we're at, we're looking good going into the break, but we're not in the position, I think, even sort of pessimist thought we'd be. I think we thought we would get 3 points out of Liverpool specifically. And that game was a huge letdown, and having to pull ourselves back from that, I think, is probably our biggest point of disappointment. I think we can all look at taking a point away from last season's champions and be happy with that, no matter what the name of the team is, whether it's Leicester or if it made United had won or City had won. If we had pulled a point out of that, we'd all be pretty happy. But I think that Liverpool match really just sort of left a sour taste in everybody's mouth, and I think that we're getting over that, and hopefully we will have some sweet, sweet nectar to suckle on over the next few matches and continue to collect 3 points as we go throughout the month of September.
Right. Now, player I wanted to pick out, just because I'm very upset that he's not a Gladbach, but I'm very happy he's at Arsenal. Mr. Granit Xhaka was really his first time you really saw him sort of dominate a game, dare I say, today. Got a couple of stats here. Key passes won. I think that was the Walcott pass, 87.3% pass accuracy, 2 aerial duels won, 85 touches, 6.67 rating. That is off whoscored.com though, so God knows that could be horribly, horribly wrong. Normally, here we go, 71 passes. God, it goes into accuracy and everything else. Danny, why do you even bother with this? It's dreadful. Right, enough of that nonsense. Tom, what did you think of Xhaka today? There you go. Yeah, he was good. All right. Yeah. Thanks.
He's. I think he's coming on from the first game when we saw him. I was a bit worried against Liverpool. He came on and he literally just kicked everyone, and that was about it. But we've actually seen him in come in and start and play the role that you know him from playing with the passing and the conducting his play, which is great because as I think we've said, it's benefited other players in the team a lot more, like Ozil, who there's less pressure on them to perform the calm passes. It's probably the most calmness we've had in that position, and I don't think we've had even with Cazorla in that position since Arteta was in his prime at the club. I think when we had the calmness from Arteta in the centre of midfield, spraying those passes, and the relationship he had with the back four as well, from passes into Arteta to then recycle and play on and whatnot, I think Xhaka's doing that job really well and can come on and do that. And I think, I mean, we paid I think it was the price rises to about 38 million in total, something like, I think that's what's quite on transfer market. And if you think, well, that's only 4 million less than Ozil for what we paid, and Ozil's a brilliant, fantastic player. I know the transfer the market itself has moved on in the 3 years since Ozil signed, but it's still a lot of money, and you need your player to
can I interrupt you here as well,
Tom? No,
there's, well, I'm going to, there is absolutely no way, as some reporters have put on Twitter, that Ozil would have left Madrid for 25 million pounds.
Yeah.
So shut your fucking face, you fucking cunt. Go ahead.
You say reporter, that's that. Is it Owen Wyatt or something like that? Is that his name? I don't know. It's
the Sun.
He works for the Sun.
Allegedly. I will cover us all allegedly.
Charlie Wyatt, was it? He said that?
Charlie Wyatt, yeah, that guy that knows nothing.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, as I'll carry on before I was so rudely interrupted by Jason. I mean, the price is 4 million less than Ozil, but you won't see a player. It's not going to be like Ozil with the impact so obvious. He's a more like the impact he has is a more quiet and under the radar sort of impact on the team. And a lot of people probably criticise the price when they see that he's not. Why isn't he scoring 20 goals per season, or why isn't he getting like 15 assists or whatever? Because that's not his game. He's not there for that. So the price is justified in my opinion, and for the job he'll do, I think he'll be a massive upgrade on what we've had in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Love some of the balls today. Jace, any more thoughts to add on Xhaka?
I've got a lot of thoughts on Xhaka.
Go for it, mate.
he's actually probably today he was my second best player in the match behind Mesut. Just because he's so quiet. What he does is not necessarily quantifiable and qualitative in a stats sense. But if you look at every free kick that we had, he actually stayed deeper and provided a third man back with most of our fullbacks, or with our fullbacks, I should say. And if you would watch when Bellerin would get sucked inside chasing the ball, and guess who's out on the right side guarding our wing against the counter? It was Granit Xhaka. Guess who's drifting left when Monreal has pulled up the pitch trying to attack? Guess who's back there on that left wing making sure we're not countered down with Emma, what's-his-face, who ended up getting a funny yellow card after he'd been subbed off. Yeah, it was Granit Xhaka. And you look at the intelligence of the player, and he's, what, 23, almost 24? And the intelligence of the player to be able to cover that ground in those exposed areas. And no offense to Mikel Arteta, because he was brilliant, but he didn't have the pace to get to a lot of those areas. And so it did leave us exposed a little bit when he was there. But Xhaka's got such an intelligent footballing mind. And the other thing is, there's just when he sprays the ball 30, 40 yards, it's always within a single yard of where he wants to put it. I mean, it's literally on I think it was Sanchez on the left side or Ox on the left side at one point. And it was just literally right to his thigh where he could bring it down, easy first touch, and then be able to approach his defender. It's the passing that he provides and the distribution is one of those things that, yeah, it's a long completed pass and it'll show up on all the stats, but it's one of those things that when you really can pull a defense out like that and make them switch field the way he does from the center of the pitch, it can really cause a lot of problems for not only their holding midfielders, But a lot of times their center backs as well can create a gap in between that fullback and the center back that we'll be able to exploit with some of our pace, hopefully Perez and Theo and Ox. And hopefully as we start to adapt to that style of play, which I don't think we've really had for a long, long time now, I think it'll really start to pay dividends and hopefully people will appreciate it, because he's one of those players that's while he is very quiet at times, those diagonals are very good. And I was lucky enough to see him play against the MLS All-Stars. And I sort of said on, you know, at the time, I was like, when he kicks the ball, that diagonal ball, it sounds different coming off of his foot. And he really gets a hold of it. He's got such a delicate touch for a pass that's 40 yards or more. And it's really something that I think that we all need to take a step back and really appreciate. And John is as Gladbacher, 0-0 with Leverkusen right now. It's something that I bet, you know, they're going to end up missing, and it's something really special that we have that we need to appreciate as fans and really, you know, let him bed into this team and in this league and see what he can do, because I think he's going to be a very special player for us moving forward.
Yeah, you're still going to have a couple of games where he might not perform to his very best. Yeah,
he's going to get sent off sometimes. He is. I like that about him, though. I like the attitude that he has. He won't take bullshit from anybody. He's going to put in a tackle. I also must say, Santi did a great job tracking back today and tackling as well. He had a couple of times.
There was one really good tackle covering for Monreal in the left back position.
I had to double check that was actually him. it's one of those things that I honestly think probably our best setup is Xhaka and Santi back there. With Messi in front of them. They're very balanced. We can distribute the ball in so many different ways from those two different players that it really makes teams, like I said, Watford had to press higher up the field to take the diagonal away from Shock and to keep Santi from running with the ball at his feet, that it allowed Messi more room. And I think that's really going to cause a lot of teams in this league a lot of trouble.
You're muted again, John.
Did it again.
I could just jump quickly on something Jay said. Well, about playing Santi and Xhaka, because I know Drew's going to be screaming at the screen when he hears about it, because the thing is, with playing those two, it's great against teams like Watford, and where we can dominate possession and whatnot. But when we come up against sides like Chelsea and United and City, I think it'll be more beneficial to play Xhaka next to a player like Coquelin, because you need the more defensive security next to Xhaka, because when he does mess up, because we know of his challenges, he can mess up, that he needs that security behind him sometimes, and we need it for the team as well. But I mean, I completely take the point. It's a formidable two in front of
him. The other point to that, Tom, when have we had the option to play this many types of tactical sort of
different options for that midfield?
In that, especially the two behind Ozil. I mean, you could play Granit and Ramsey. You could play Elneny and Ramsey. You could play Elneny and Santi. You could play Cockett. There's so many different options we have, and it really is a sort of a wealth of riches that we have in those two roles. Plus, Jack has played there at times before, maybe not to great success, but he has played there before to limited success. We've really got a wealth of options that we can play there, and let's hope and pray, because one of my biggest faults against Wenger is just his tactical astuteness in that position, is let's hope that he continues to get it right against the matchups that we're going against and plays against the matchup as opposed to just playing against, you know, if you got the hot hand, I definitely want you to play. But also, there's got to come a time when we know that we're not going to have the ball a lot, like against a City, when we're going to need, you know, that Coquelin type presence breaking up play, and that Xhaka can distribute forward to get the ball out of our area.
Yeah, it's so good to be able to have those different options. And honestly, trying to pick the best two, I think, like Tom said, it really does come down to who you're playing against. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
We're trying to keep all the radio shows this season to an hour, so we are taking questions. I see some firing away in the chat box already. So thank you to everyone for watching. We've got 121 watching live now at the moment, so thank you, everyone. Give us a thumbs up if you're enjoying. So we'll take some questions now. First one in from our good friend Ellis. Ellis Mel, what's your guys' feelings on the Champions League group? I know the guys talked about it on the main pod this week. But Tom, happy with the group that we got?
Yeah, I'm very happy with it. Not to boast, but I was in the shard when I found out about the thing, and I was sent to Georgia.
That's not a euphemism, is it?
No.
She said in the shard in Georgia. I wasn't sure. Did you say in Georgia?
I've been telling people that I took Georgia up the shard for her birthday, and I've enjoyed saying that to people. I was trying to get internet connection the whole time I was in there, and I was gradually getting them through, and I was like, oh, PSG, all happy with that from Group 1. And obviously Basel and Ludogorets came through. But PSG are definitely beatable with that Zlatan there, as Chris will go on and all day about how much he hates Cavani and the amount of chances that he'll miss. We've got all the chances of beating them. I don't think they're the team that they were with Zlatan in that side, even though he is getting old, but we're seeing the impact he's had for Manchester United already. And then you've got Basel, who actually could pose a bigger threat than PSG could, because they seem to enjoy playing against English sides. There's a little history of them like knocking out English teams, or especially Liverpool, and I think they've had some history of United, if I'm right as well. So there's always that, and then obviously Ludogorets, you'd expect them to be the whipping boys, as we say, but we thought that about Dynamo Zagreb, and look what happened with them last year. So you've always got to be wary, but I think it's one of the best groups we've had in a long time, and when you've the new system of the seeding in the pot in the league champions, I think we've been handed a very good tie in from pot one.
Yeah, it's, as long as you go out and we actually respect our opponents and don't think they're walkovers, I think we should be fine.
To give everybody a little peek inside the ABW curtain, me and Tom did have a heated discussion this week, respectful
oh
but
God,
heated.
Oh God, here we go.
In the WhatsApp group about travel times, especially to Ludogorets, and as somebody who has recently traveled, is someone who has traveled to the west coast of the U.S. who is 4 hours behind where I am, or 3 hours actually right now with savings time, 3 hours behind where I am. It's easier to go west to east, which the good thing is, so when we go to Ludogorets, it's going to be, should be, quote-unquote, easier, somewhat easier for us. The return trip for them will not be as fun. Just because of the time difference, but that was it was a very me and Tom had a very very good conversation, I will say, about that. But that's the one thing, and the good thing is that the scum up the road. He's saying that because he knows I'm right. The scum up the road have a nice long travel to Cheska Moscow. So have fun with that. You stadium building scum.
They've also aren't they paying people to try and fill up Wembley or something? I heard some rumor about that. I might have just made that up. I don't know, but yeah, I'm sure they won't be able to pay.
Allegedly.
Oh, we have to say allegedly.
Allegedly, someone had a good game today. Allegedly. We don't want anybody to sue ABW Radio here.
He'll write another children's book. Daniel Cronin asks, should we loan out Ox or Chambers? Jace, thoughts on that?
Chambers, yes. Ox, no. Honestly, and I know a lot of people may give me shit for this, he's been linked with West Ham, and we should jump. Or not West Ham, sorry, West Brom. We should jump at him going to West Brom. Imagine sending a defender to a Tony Pulis team. The organization, the defensive sort of tactical awareness that he will receive from being in that side will be amazing, whether he starts or not, because we all know Pulis sets his teams up defensively first. They will defend first and then go on offense second. I think that would actually be really beneficial to a young defender. Should we send a Serge Gnabry there? Fuck no. We should not send an attacking player to a Tony Pulis team, but we should send a defender there. So absolutely, we should jump at the chance to send a Chambers to a team like West Brom. Whether they play our style or not, I don't really care. The kid's got some technical quality and ability on the ball. It's not that we knock him for. It's his tactical and defensive awareness, and that's where he needs to learn that, and West Brom would be a great place to do that. Ox is very streaky, and I do feel like he has something to contribute to us this year. The problem is I think Wenger sees him as a central player in the midfield, and there's just no room for him there. So he's going to have to adapt to playing out wide. But I think he can. He's got the pace to. And I think that will really help him if he just sets his mind to it and focuses on it. Then I think he could be a very good attacking option, probably off the bench.
Yeah, there was speaking about Chambers in particular, there was a few overseas clubs interested in taking him on loan as well, which I actually wouldn't be against. I don't think enough English players do that. That's a really good education.
As long as it's Italy, where there's good defending.
There was
no
two
offense.
Teams in Italy.
No.
Yeah.
No advantage,
one in particular was Roma, which would obviously be maybe a little bit easier for the adjustment, as obviously shouldn't have been there.
Wouldn't it be amazing if he went to Roma and played beside Thomas Vermaelen and Roger Schmidt?
He just watched Vermaelen, just look at everything not to do. It's fun. Carl Bonner was asking about Gnabry. Should he be given a chance after his performance for Germany at the Olympics? I think he is, and I assume that the reason Joel Campbell's been loaned out, other than the fact that Arsene Wenger doesn't really seem to like him, I assume it's because Gnabry's coming back. There was talk about him trying to get an extension on his contract. They wanted to sign an extension, so that all sounds good for him. Whether he gets a spot in the team or whether he gets loaned out, I don't know. I wrongly informed Drew yesterday that he was being loaned to Stuttgart when I actually meant Asano, and Drew tweeted it before I corrected myself. And I got berated for that. So if you took the mic out of Drew or laughed at him or anything yesterday, it was my fault, not his. I put the wrong player in.
If I was Gnabry, I'd be out of here as soon as possible. And I'm speaking that not as an Arsenal fan, but if I was Gnabry, I'd want a permanent move out of the club personally, because I think he's now at the level where he needs to play regular football. And I think with the likes of the wingers that we have, that he's just not going to get that. And if I was him, I would leave personally. So.
The only thing I would say is I missed one game that he played in the Olympics. He was really, really good, and then I watched the final against Brazil. Now, obviously, Brazil had a couple of very good players in, notably Neymar, but their defence, the wide men, they had a fullback who, Zika, I don't think it's pronounced like that, but it sounded like the Zika virus.
Ah.
Made me laugh. Yeah, but they were young players, and Gnabry wasn't doing as well against them, and it kind of showed that, yeah, he was excellent against other teams where they were perhaps not as experienced. So maybe he's not quite there yet. But I do like him, and there's a lot of interest in him, apparently, from other clubs. So if he does want regular football, he may have to be loaned out still. Because you've got to think, is he going to jump ahead of Walcott, who the manager still seems to like, Oxlade-Chamberlain, who he favours, Iwobi, Alexis? There's still rumours about maybe another player coming in. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. Perez can play wide, I think, Tom, as well, can't he?
Wide right, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know.
Or like number 10 as well.
Yeah, so it's limited opportunities for Gnabry, so maybe he gets another loan out, maybe some sort of lower down the table team in Germany or something like that would be good for him.
Quickly, so George put in the chat, George Marino put, none of us sound like we look, I'm a first-time listener.
that's
George,
true.
How should I look?
That's what I said. None of us sound like the sound of our voice isn't what he thinks it would be by looking at us. Yeah.
I'm not watching the YouTube feed because I'm watching the Gladbach Leverkusen match.
They all hate
right
you.
Now.
They all hate you right now.
Doesn't surprise me. I'm American. That's what we're known for is being hated.
Lots of people asking about Ramsey in the midfield. Obviously out injured at the moment. Talking about how does he get back in the team, or will he get back in the team? What position? I don't know what you boys thought about that. Jace, if you want to have a go on Rambo. Not have a go on Rambo, but you know what I mean.
So I do love Ramsey. He was the last jersey that I purchased. He was the name on the back. Because, and if you slay people for putting names on the back of jerseys, I don't care. It pains me to say this. He should probably play on the right, because I just don't know where else he gets in the midfield.
You mean he should play instead of Walcott? That's what you're trying to say.
without sounding so harsh, but I do think he should play on the right. He's one of those players you have to have in the team because his quality is so good. He can bring magic to a match and your style so quickly that I feel I would rather have him play there out of position than Walcott play there in position. But let's not forget that Walcott's position, he's a center forward now. He's a center forward. What he says is completely different from what Wenger sees him as, and he's a center forward now. So I do think when he comes back, I do feel he'll play on the right. I really do. And I wouldn't actually mind seeing probably like a Ramsey Shaka type of midfield or a Ramsey Coughlin type of midfield against some teams. But I do like I really wouldn't mind seeing him getting consistent game time on the right hand side. I know it's not his best position. He'll learn and develop more as he plays there more. But he is very important to this team. And I do feel he's one of the people that you can't leave out, but you can't. There's so many people above him in the midfield pecking order that it's hard to see him anywhere else but the right at the moment.
This always confuses me when people say, oh, you know, he'll never play in the middle because of Ozil. He's never been a number 10. With Wales, you know, he has a free role, but he still gets back and makes tackles on the edge of his own box and then runs the length of the pitch to score a goal. He's not a number 10. The best season he had at Arsenal, he played next to Arteta. You know, I don't see the problem people have with him.
The thing with him was when he did that, he would make those long 30 to 40-yard runs to receive the ball at the top of the box. That's what he brings to you from that role. It's not the number 10 role. It's that deep-lying late runner role that he brings to you that he's so successful at.
Yeah, the goals he gets from those runs is fantastic. And, like, who was it? I'll see if I can find the person. Lambs, L-A-M-Z. First half of the season last year, we were ripping teams apart with Ramsey on the right-hand side. And we were. And I was moaning about it the whole way through because I was like, he's not a right-winger. He's a central midfielder. But he was fantastic there, and him and Bellerin had a really good understanding. I think having that depth, the fact you can play him on the right or you can play him in centre mid, that's what we've cried out for so long. People are now saying we should sell him because there's not enough space for him in the team. He's not going to get back in. I just don't see that. There was actually a tweet earlier, just before we wrap up. I think it was Jeremy Wilson tweeted, a journalist I know lots of Arsenal fans follow. He said, I wonder what Arsenal would do now if someone came in with a big bid for Jack Wilshere, because we do have so many midfielders. Now, I'm not saying that there's like any noise of that, and, you know, I don't think Jack doesn't want to leave. He wants to stay at the club. You know, there's no talk of a bid coming in. But I just wonder what you guys thought about it, just because, you know, with his injury record and how many people are probably ahead of him at the moment in the team. Do you think it's something the club would listen to if someone came in with a big money bid? Or would you listen to it anyway? Tom? Just put you on the spot and make it really difficult for you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, I like Jack a lot, and it's not just because, like, obviously we speak to Neil a lot, and obviously Neil speaks about Jack a lot in Woodcock fondness, and I completely agree with his views on him. I think that he's had such a rough time at Arsenal with the injuries that he's faced that he's never really been able to get a proper season underneath his belt, and he's never really given a chance. And it looks like this season, even when he is fit, he's not going to get it either, because he's going to get pushed out through the high quality we have on the side. But I think I wouldn't sell him down to the fact that he's a rare variable in the side with his style. I don't think we really have someone from the centre midfield who will run at defences and will unlock them. And when we play against teams who like to sit in and put two backs of four against us and lock down and try and stop us from scoring, which we know from several seasons now, it does stop us from playing. Jack forces mistakes by running at those defenders or going at them and playing the balls or doing his final product at the last second, which none of our other players really do, bar maybe Alexis. So I think you need that from centre mid if you're going to break those teams down. And so, no, I wouldn't sell him. If you're going to sell him or Ramsey, I think I'd turn around and say I'd rather sell Ramsey, because we need to clarify that Jack Wilshere is not injury prone. Jack Wilshere has just been the victim of some serious, unfortunate injuries. Ramsey is very, very injury prone, because his injuries have been muscular and they've been strains and whatnot that just reoccur over time with overstretching and going too far over the limit of what the muscle can do. And you can tweet Dom if you want to know more about that. And I would prefer to sell Ramsey, because I think he's like Ozil in some ways. He can be a problem player. Like Jason said, we should play him on the right. His best position is at 10, and next I would say on the right was his second position, because what playing from deep just doesn't work like it does for Wales when he's playing in a more advanced role. So for me, if it was out of those two, I'd much prefer to sell Ramsey than I would sell Wilshere.
Yeah. Isn't it nice to be able to talk about, we've got so many players that we're talking about selling one of the best players in our squad for once? What the hell's going on?
So here's our problem, though, with that, John, is we're Arsenal, and we get injuries like it's fucking cool to get an injury. I don't know what it is about our training room that people, or our injury room that people love so much. I don't want to sell anybody right now. What I want to do, I do agree with you though, Tom. I would rather sell Ramsey rather than Jack. I don't know if everybody saw, this is a Jack Ramsey, holy hell. How much famous have I had? This is a Jack Wilshere, jersey, and I'm just not. The problem is competing both in the Premier League, the now what is termed the English Football League Cup, aka the League Cup, formerly Capital One, formerly Carlsberg, formerly whatever it was in 2002, plus the FA Cup, plus Champions League. You have to have depth. That's what Barcelona actually has over a lot of the teams that they play against, is depth. That's what Real Madrid has. That's what Bayern Munich has, is depth. We finally have depth. We shouldn't sell anybody except for Theo Walcott. We shouldn't sell anybody, really, who can actually add something to this team. Now, Theo Walcott has had a good few games. I 100% understand that. There are people who will defend him to his grave, and I respect you for that. I do feel that he does not bring the best to the squad that we have is what's on the bench at times. I would actually, as a CONCACAF representative myself, would much rather see Joel Campbell there, who puts in a much better defensive shift, who actually provides assists from the left and the right. He provides goals as well, plus he tracks back better than Theo and the Ox, sadly. We need to keep this depth that we have, because at some point our fixture list is going to become so heavy that we really need to have that depth and the options that we have. That's the reason that Barcelona and Bayern Munich and you know, Real Madrid and Juventus are so good. They can beat you more than one way. We have only been able to beat teams one way in the past, I feel, and I think that having this depth, having this many people – I mean, imagine bringing Aaron Ramsey and Jack Wilshere off the bench into a match. There's almost no drop in talent from who you're bringing on. That's why I feel that Leicester are going to struggle in the league this year, because they just don't have a ton of depth. That's why me and Chris thought that up until sort of the Christmas-January time frame that they weren't going to succeed. It's because they didn't have the depth. We need to keep the depth that we have, keep the players that we have. And even Theo Walcott, who has been working harder and has been playing harder, does bring something to this team. We should keep those players. That's been our cry. That's what's going to get us out of the last 16 of the Champions League, is depth. Not our first 11, but who we bring on to replace them if they get hurt. If Santi goes down, we now have Elneny, we have Ramsey, we have Jack, we have Coughlin, who can we bring in? If Xhaka goes down, we have Elneny, we have Coughlin, we have Jack, we have who we get. We have the outlets. Let's not continue to sell off our best players for the sake of our wage bill. Let's keep our best players that we have. Yes, we may not be able to play them in the position that they want, but they, you know what? If you want to be in a big club, you'll suck it up. You're also making enough money that if you go anywhere else, yeah, you may make a little bit more, but not a ton. We finally have the depth, especially in midfield, not attacking, but in midfield, that we can really continue to push on, because if we could continue to get two goals from our midfield every game, do you know how good we'll be?
Yeah.
I mean, let's think about that.
It's a nice position to finally be in, and we're not in a position now where we have to sell players anymore. So, you know, I think that's a nice, happy note to end the show on. There was one more question, which segues nicely into a point that Tom reminded me I've got to bring up, from, I'm going to butcher this name, so Karthik, I'm not even going to attempt your surname. Any other players expected, in what position you guys feel we need to add? The truthful answer is we don't know. But, cool segue, if you join us on Transfer Deadline Day, you can find out if there's any exciting news. We're doing shows, is it one every 2 hours, Tom? I think?
2 hours.
Yeah,
I think, yeah, 2 hours, yeah.
So 1 PM GMT time all the way up to, I'm not sure when the last one is.
Nine onwards.
Nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I think the last one at 9 o'clock will go on.
There may be a special. I'm yet to text the leaders, but I will host
the leaders.
Take me to your leaders. I will I am seeing about hosting a possible 11 p.m. Right at the deadline close, sort of special. Since that's more my time frame in America. To see if we can discuss sort of all the happenings, not only from Arsenal but maybe the other teams as well that day, and how it could affect the Gunners.
Yeah. So I think Gim and Danny are organising all the people for Transfer Deadline Day, doing the same as they do every year, getting guests on. Different people. I think we're trying to do a person. Every show is going to try and have someone from the radio and from the bloggers group.
And from the main pod.
And from the main pod, yeah. So I think, as far as I know, I think we've managed to do that. And then a guest, like a guest listener on as well.
Three guests.
Three guests on every one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
If you do want to be a guest on the main podcast, just at the AFC podcast on Twitter.
Well, Gunnar Gimli.
And throw your hat on, yeah, or Gunnar Gimli, and see if you can see if that time that you would like is open.
Yeah. So give them a tweet. But Transfer Deadline Day, definitely join us for that. And we'll have any updates if there is any other players in. But all good today. Nice, comfortable 3-1 win. Nice, relaxing into Lowell. Two new signings. So hopefully we'll see them in their shirts and whatever up on the web light soon. Danny's just fine. I think most of all now, but Gimli would know. So yeah, give Gimli a tweet, and he'll be able to fill you in on what spots are available if there are any left. Someone should ask about signings, auditions.
Tell them that you are a radio listener as well.
Yes, tell them you're an ABW radio listener.
Yeah.
And tell them that Jay sent you there. There we go.
John.
Well done.
Sorry, John, but that auditions in John's house just reminds me of a black sofa, and that's it.
There will be no auditions in my house unless not go down that road, because I get in trouble allegedly. Right. So I don't. Was there a fancy slogan for the end of this the radio show this season?
No, there's no. I've only
listened to one.
Just what a douche. Just that we are the original post-match radio show.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's no racism in our chat box. I hope not.
You say that now, it'll be terrible. Thanks everyone for listening and tuning in today. As I said, Chris will be back for the next show. Who is our next game, actually? I don't even know who we're playing.
Good question, I don't know.
oh, quickly, everyone. You'll pretend you're
tell
not
us,
typing and looking
people.
It up.
Yeah, tell us
people. Tell us people, because
so
it's terrible.
I will say to people out there, there are some other good podcasts and things to listen out there, so check those out. But definitely check out our typical podcast, plus at the Bergie Blogs on Twitter, as we have some great bloggers. Obviously, Drew, Luke is on there as well. Simon, OG does a great OG Jeff Hollenfriend does a great job with that. That's the literal pronunciation. Everybody check that out, because it's really, really – it's not your typical blogs. I mean, it's really good content. Everybody has a blog these days, but this is definitely something special with people who are a little more informed than your just average Joe. So definitely check it out. It's some really good perspectives that you may not think of all the time. So, and definitely check out all of Tom's stuff, because Tom does things every single day for some reason.
Oh, you're so for some reason.
He either has no life or has a massive life that will get him paid one day. One of the two. I'm not quite sure which one it is yet.
If you want to know about Lucas Perez, check my pinned tweet. Yeah.
Yeah, Tom's got a pinned tweet, and it covers all things Lucas Perez. But I'm sure the guys on the main pod will cover that a little bit more in depth. Obviously, the radio shows, we try and keep on the games as much as we can. But yeah, thanks everyone for listening. As I just double checked, the next game is Southampton. We're at home to Southampton, so
yeah,
should be a good match. Arsenal
next
against
game's
Arsenal.
A Legends game, actually.
Which oh, yes.
To, which I'm going to.
Ooh,
so, yeah.
Oh, lucky gear. I wanted to go for that. Damn it. Right. Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Have a nice interlull, everyone. Don't forget to join us for the Transfer Deadline Day pods all throughout the day, keeping you entertained. It's always fun just to see Gimli's face get more and more wrecked as the day goes on. More and more depressed and talks less about football. It's brilliant.
The quiff gets more quiffy.
It's fantastic. You might get to see some cool little animals on there as well, as normally puppies or kittens or something running around in his gaff. So, the wonders of Wales. But yeah, that's been our show today. Thank you for listening to ABW Radio, and we will be back with you very soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.